You know what? If you're the call, if you call right now, you'll be the first caller too. Thank you, Kelly Robinson. Good morning, everybody. Did you get some rain? Much of Texas did. If you wanted rain, I hope you got it. Hope you didn't get more than you wanted. If you didn't want rain because you have some kind of outdoor event, I hope it bypassed you for a while until you want it. This state always can use rain. I've always thought of rain as money in the bank. I hate to see it on Saturdays when the nurseries get a lot of their business. I think independent retail nurseries probably do. I have no idea what the figure is, but I'll bet it's 2/3 of their business on the weekends in the springtime. It's a lot of their cash flow over the course of the year. That might be a little high, but it's not high. So anyway, but tomorrow is supposed to be great, and there are always great days in the springtime in Texas. I'm glad you're tuned in this morning. Jared Taylor is in the other studio, and he is running the boards and answering the phones. And that means that you'll be calling, right? You'll pick up the phone and you will call 888-256-1080. I sound like I'm programming robots, and I don't look at you as a robot. I look at you as a friend who will call and ask a gardening question. That's what I've been here to do for the last 35 or more years. And I've been doing this commercially now for 45 years. And I love this, so I hope you'll call. Toll free anywhere you can hear me from beautiful Alpine. Been talking to some friends in Alpine this week, and just makes me want to go back and spend a week or two in Alpine. 888-256-1080. If you don't know where Alpine is, Google it, and you'll be wanting to take your vacation there this summer. It's in the Big Bend country at 5,000 feet in Brewster County. It's the county seat of the biggest county in Texas, and at one point, it was the third largest county in the United States. I don't know where Alaska fits in anymore. I kind of lost track of that when I got into college and had some more important statistics to keep track of. But 888-256-1080. Call now, won't you please? Broadcast all the way to the piney woods of East Texas, from Corpus Christi to Amarillo, where the panhandle, I think Perryton's going to 36 tonight. And, goodness gracious, this is a big state, but it's fun. So let's talk gardening. Let's talk about your lawn or your landscape. Let's talk about any fruit, flower, vegetable gardening, anything that has to do with urban horticulture. I'll get the program underway, and we'll do that right after our first break. But that number one more time, as we fill the full try that one again, as we fill the four phone lines, 888-256-1080. 1080. Dale and College Station will be our first call in just a moment. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my book, and I've put it on sale. And I will tell you something that I've mentioned in eGardens a couple of nights ago, my electronic newsletter, and that is that this is the sixth printing of the book. It's not the sixth edition, it's the sixth printing. This is not the cowboy boot book. I went off and left that because I went through a publishing house and I didn't want to work with them any longer. I wanted to do it on my own as a self-published book, and I've made minor revisions each time through. I don't want you to think this is a vastly different book each time. This is the sixth printing of the book, and it will be the last. I'm not going to do any more printings of the book. I just feel like I don't want any more. I have a couple of copies left, and I put them on sale, and I'll leave it at that. But let me describe this book to you and why you need to have it, and you don't want to wait and get shut out. It has 344 pages, 840 of my photographs. It has 11 chapters that cover every aspect of landscaping and lawns, fruit, flower, and vegetable gardening for every county in Texas. I spent a year writing this book. I had Carolyn Skye as my editor. She is an accomplished university editor from one of the big universities in California, but she is a master gardener about 10 miles from my house, and she has screened this program for me as a phone screener. And Cindy Smith is the graphic designer who put the book together for me. The three of us did this book. It's printed on high-quality paper. It was printed in San Antonio, and it's a hardback. So all of those things add together, and you say, well, I bet that book's going to be $60. All those photos and hardback, high-quality paper, it is $34.95. Your satisfaction is completely guaranteed. I had to do that because it is not in stores and it's not on Amazon. I had to do that because I wanted to sign every copy as it sold. So I will sign your copy and mail it to you and guarantee that you'll be satisfied with it. I've never had anybody say I'm not satisfied. I'd like my money back. But the offer is always there for you. Now, it's Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. The only two ways that you can get it would be office or go to my website. My office phone number weekdays is 800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. That's Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. The better way, though, is to order it right now while you're thinking about it at neilsperry.com. This is a good day to do it while it's rainy. That's at NEILSPERRY.com. It has Adirondack chairs on the cover. That is Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. I want to tell you about something that's been very special in my heart for the last 40 years that I've been broadcasting, 45 years. And that is the certification program of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. This began while I was still working for the Extension Service. And this is a tough testing program that was put together by, at that time, the Texas Association of Nurserymen. Now it's called the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. These men and women studied long and hard hours. They take a really rugged exam that proves that they know horticulture. They know everything they need to know, everything about the plants that they're recommending to you and that you're bringing to them. Also, all the pest problems and the other things. They know the things that you would expect a sales representative or a landscape designer to know. These are the professionals in the nursery industry. So you need to shop where you see their name badges and their emblems. That's Texas Certified and Master Certified Nurserymen, Nursery Professionals, at member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. I'll be back more after this message. Well, thank you, Kelly Robinson, very, very much. And we begin our program. Let me give that number one more time just to make sure that you had a chance to punch it in. 888-256-1080. And we are half sold out. We have two lines open. Let's go to Dale in College Station. Dale, this is Neil. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir. I'm looking for a shrub of sorts to put in a dog pen for two little dogs that'll provide shade. You know, not necessarily a tree, but something that would shade them.
All right, and how tall do you want it to grow?
Oh, 4 foot, 5 foot.
These are very small.
Very little dogs, yes.
Okay, and this will be within the pen with them or right outside the pen?
Well, more than likely in the pen, but you know, I don't think they'll damage
right.
It. They're not big enough to do much damage, so.
Okay, the reason I ask is dogs very often, if they're bored, will strip bark off plants, and I don't want that to happen to your trees. I'll tell you, the thing that comes to my mind first would be a Yaupon holly tree. It would get a little taller than 4 to 5 feet. They're native all through College Station in the woodlands there.
Okay.
I would probably try to find, this is going to be almost impossible, I would try to find a male Yaupon holly, because you'd never have berries that way that they might, I don't think they'll eat them. Just hear me out on this, Dale. This is going to be one of
sure.
the strangest answers anybody ever gave you.
Okay.
Even if you got a female Yaupon, the scientific name of Yaupon holly is Ilex vomitoria. So I warned you it was going to be a strange answer. I don't think they would eat them twice. I think they'd just say, that didn't taste good.
Okay.
It made me sick. So, but anyway, that plant is so well adapted to Brazos County. I grew up in College Station, and I think that would make you a nice little shade tree in the pen, or one of them would be all you'd need, and it would obviously is well adapted and would grow well and readily available. How big is the pen?
Oh, it's about 20 by 20 foot.
Perfect. That would be perfect. Tuck it in a corner somewhere.
Right. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy one today. I think I lost you.
All right, we had a bit of a glitch there electronically, and I lost connection. It's bad when you lose connection. We have a problem, Houston. Let me get my call screen back up. Everything dropped on me there. I will also tell you, we do have our other caller. I want to finish on that call, and then I'm going to take a break and keep myself on time. Let me get my call screen. Just bear with me. Got to reestablish life here. The whole life is there. All right, so Dale, I'm going to finish up with a couple of comments to you. And then Alton and Crockett, if you will hang with me, we will get to you right after this break. So I don't know how much you heard about what I was saying about the Yopan, a regular Yopan. I know you heard most of it, but I would very strongly recommend that for Brazos County. There are other small trees. Mexican plum is a small tree. No tree is going to stay at 4 feet. 4 or 5 feet. That's not a tree. That's a small shrub. If you want something really small as a tree, you would take a willow leaf holly. I did not mention this, but a willow leaf holly and train it as a tree. That you could do easily. Get a fairly large one in a container, maybe a 20 or 40 gallon pot, and then train it as a three trunk tree. That could be done, and that'd be very pretty. It's a nice evergreen. It'd be very pretty. But it will have fruit, and there's sizable fruit that would maybe be attractive to the dogs. That would be a deterrent, I think. Same thing with Marianelle holly might work, or Oakland holly. And they are, if they bear fruit, it's not very often. So that might be better. You'd have to train those as trees. They're not sold that way. I still think the Yopan is the best idea. All right, so I'm going to leave that alone. Alton, I'll be coming to you in just a moment. I'm going to take a break, and we have a line open. We have a couple lines open. It is toll-free at 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080. And I want to tell you about the Fertilome folks right now. This is a Texas-based company, and you'll hear me talking about high yield and Fertilome almost interchangeably, and that's because they are owned by the same company. Well, it's actually, they are the same parental company. They are owned by independent retail garden centers all over. It's a co-op all over the state. And that's why it's so important you shop where you find full-time nursery help, men and women who understand plants, who understand products and problems that plants encounter. They understand gardening in the Lone Star State. Fertilome has long been supportive of the nursery industry. I really am proud to stand alongside these folks and to recommend their products. Now, let's talk about their high-yield turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper. I want to talk to you now about Fertilome Weed Free Zone. If you missed getting out the high yield turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper earlier, and you got a few weeds that came up, then this is where you use Fertilome Weed Free Zone, one of the few weed killers you can use this early, at this time of the year, early in the year and late in the year. I'm off to a flying stop on my ad for them, really trying to be very supportive of them. But here is the thing, it can be used cool, it can be used when it's warm, and it will control broadleafed weeds. If you have thistles, if you have clover, if you have poison ivy, if you have dandelions, whatever it is, chickweed, it's all fair game for Fertilome's weed-free zone. You put it out and your lawn will be weed-free within 24 hours. It works great. It works great from the Big Bend country to the Piney Woods and from the Gulf Coast to the Panhandle. It is a great product, and it's available where you find those great products with the label of Fertilome. Also, as I mentioned, high-yield products. That's where you get great nursery help. Fertilome. Fertilome weed-free zone. Hope you'll ask for it by name. I'll be back after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. You know, if you have a new Schumard red oak or red maple, and I'm talking about Acer rubrum, the plant that has green leaves in the summer and then bright red in the fall. If you have a new Chinese pistachio, those have very thin bark. And for their first 2 summers, you need to have their trunks wrapped with paper tree wrap. It's very, very important because otherwise you're very subject to sun scald on those trunks. I've seen probably, oh, I don't know, I'll bet 30, 40, 50% of the trees where I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area be lost because of sun scald when they were not wrapped. They're grown in protected spots in nurseries where they grow side by side by side, and they shade one another, and then they're set out by themselves in the front yard. And on the west side, the bark will split after about the second or third year, and it will start peeling, and the tree then starts decaying in the trunk, and it's lost. So anyway, be sure to wrap the trunks. This is non-negotiable as far as I'm concerned. When I own my nursery, I don't think that's going to happen, but that will be something I will promise myself that I will tell every customer that buys any thin-barked tree. Alton is in Crockett. Alton, this is Neil. Good morning. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Yeah, morning, Neil. My question is, I have a pink Coosa dogwood tree that's approximately 3 years old. It's planted in the sun, and it's never bloomed. And my question would be, do you think it will ever bloom?
I think it will. It's 2 feet tall, you say?
No, it's probably 5 and a half, 6 foot tall.
Okay, I
It's
don't know
3 years.
where I heard that. I guess I misheard it. Okay. A lot of times, flowering trees have to gain some maturity before they start blooming. It's not at all uncommon. Dogwoods are less likely to do that than things like flowering fruit trees would be, like pears and peaches, ornamental pears and peaches. They typically won't bloom very well for a couple of years. I think what, let me ask you one thing though before I go on with my answer. The top growth that you have on that tree is definitely, you didn't have any dieback after you planted it. It is not from below the graft, correct?
Not. I mean, it's got
It's
good leaf
the,
system.
well, let me try to ask the question differently. A pink dogwood is grafted from a pink dogwood big tree somewhere. They took the graft wood, put it on a rootstock, a seedling of a white dogwood. And you're sure that what you're seeing up there at 5 feet tall is the graft. You can still see where the graft is, and it's hale and hearty and doing well, right?
Yeah, and this thing was blooming when we planted it back 3 years ago, but it hadn't bloomed since.
All right, good. All right, and it did not suffer any dieback after you planted it. That's what I was
No,
getting
it
at.
hadn't.
Okay. Sometimes when a plant, when a grafted plant like that is planted, if it dies back, if the graft isn't good, I'm giving you useless information. Just bear with me. Sometimes it will die back below the graft union. You'll get a sprout come up from below the graft, and that sprout will be ultra vigorous, and it won't bloom at all. And when it finally does bloom, it'll be white, and you say, "Well, that's not what I planted," but that's not what's happening here. I've seen that happen in my own yard more than once. I think you just have to stay the course. It will bloom if it's growing well. How much new growth are you getting each year on it? How many inches?
Not a lot of new growth, Neil. No.
All
But at
right, you got to
least
have
back
that.
out here.
Okay, you got to have the new growth because it's going to bloom next year on growth that it produces this year. So I guess then probably what I need to recommend to you is that at this time, because the growing season is now, right now, the next couple of months, it's going to make that new growth. I would put a high nitrogen fertilizer on it, like you would on your lawn. Just be sure it doesn't have a weed killer in it, and try to get some new growth on it, and then just leave it
How
alone.
about
You're not doing
urea,
any.
Nick?
No, well, I'm not a big urea fan because I'm reading more and more about how take all root rot in our St. Augustine is exacerbated with its use. So you won't hear me recommending it much, but that is certainly that's 4600, and that's certainly high nitrogen. But no, I'd use
Right.
something that is a better quality of lawn food where you have a very high fertilizer first number, but it's in a slow release form. 30 to 40% of it is slow release. So it's a good blend. But I would do that now. We're in mid-April. I would do that now, and I'd do it again early June, mid-June, and then I'd just leave it alone and try to get 6 or 10 inches of new growth on it and do that each year. And that will be, I think that's going to be your best bet, and keep it properly watered. Did it scorch at all during the summer last year?
No, I don't think so. We kept it watered.
Okay. All right, I want to look over your shoulder and talk to the rest of the state, because the answer that I would give you is different from what I would give them. Where he is in the Piney Woods in East Texas, dogwoods are able to grow in full sun. For everybody else who tries them, they're more of a challenge, first of all, because of the alkaline soil, and secondly, because they can't handle the sun in most of Texas. They are an understory tree. They do better in shade or in afternoon shade. And Alton, I don't know if the tree might do better. I know you don't want to dig it and move it, and I wouldn't recommend that. But it might have bloomed, or might be a little more willing to bloom if it were in afternoon shade, morning sun, afternoon shade. So that may be part of it. But I think it will do well for you because of where you are in so far east. I think it'll be satisfied with that. But it just needs nitrogen, needs water, it needs to grow.
All right.
That's the best I have.
Okay, Mr. Neal, we thank you.
That's my $45 answer that you got at no charge.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling me. Have a great day. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, we have lines open, folks. If you'd like to call, we'd love to hear from you. Jared Taylor is standing by waiting for the phone to ring. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. 888-256-1080. Neal Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my book. And of all the things I have done in my career professionally, I think this may be the thing of which I'm most satisfied, because I had this idea originally when I did my first book, my second book, my third book, and my fourth book. And in none of those cases did the book fulfill my dreams, because I was working through publishing houses. And I finally said, you know what, if I'm going to have the book done the way I want it, I'm going to have to do it myself and hire Carolyn Skye as my editor, because we've worked together on so many projects and I know that she'll lead me right. I'm going to have to hire Cindy Smith as a graphic designer, because we've worked on so many projects together, and I know she'll lead me right. And the three of us actually had worked together on many projects together, and they really led me right. 840 photographs, Cindy had to work those into a book and not have it be 10,000 pages. Carolyn Skye had to work a lot of text in, and she's working with a horticulturist, mind you, and make sure it was coherent. And she's just fabulous. These are great ladies. I'm so proud to have worked with them on this book for a whole year. And so 840 photos, 344 pages, printed on high quality paper. I wanted to have it printed in Texas, not in China. The publishing houses are all going to China. I wanted to go to the press checks. And I made some really good friendships at Clear Visions in San Antonio. Nice people. Who did a really wonderful job of printing all six printings of my book. I currently am offering you the sixth printing, and this will be the last of the printings. I'm not going to do another one. I'm fine with this. And I'd love to have one in your hands. I guarantee your satisfaction. If you want a gardening book that will make you a better gardener, that has all the information you need for every county in Texas, I might add. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas. Chapter 2 is a 48-page calendar telling you when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. 4 pages per month. So that's 48 pages. Chapters 3 through 11 are specifically dedicated to trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. Again, written for every county in Texas. The book is only $34.95. I put it on sale, and I guarantee your satisfaction. You'll be getting a signed copy. I sign them as I sell them. and I take them to the post office myself. So it is truly small business America. This is not a big publishing house. This publishing house has published one book, and I'd love to send it to you. Here are the two ways you can order it. It's not on Amazon. It's not in stores. You order it by going to my website or by calling my office. My office number, weekdays only, it's not open on the weekends, is 800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. And the website, and that's the way you can order it right now, is at Neil Sperry, NeilSperry.com. I'll be back with more after these messages. Thank you, Kelly, very, very much. And we go right now to Tim in Brenham. Tim, this is Neil. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I have, yes, sir. In 2019, I planted like 8 red oaks. They're about 20 foot tall now. And this year when they leaved out, one of them, just half of the tree leaves. It's the strangest thing. If you slip the tree in half, on the south side of the tree, it's got all the branches are full of leaves. On the north side, there's not a leaf one.
Okay. The tree has one trunk. Okay. And what do you see on the trunk? I'm thinking about the trunk from
The trunk is wrapped in... I wrapped the trunk in the paper trunk wrap. Good. So it's there's nothing that I can see on it unless I unwrap it.
All right. And you probably can after all that time. This is true all the way up and down the tree, top to bottom.
Yes. Well, at the very top, like the last 2 foot, there's actually some branches starting to come out that are getting leaves on them. But the bottom 12 feet, there's not a leaf one.
All right. Well, I don't know what the cause would be. My best guess, and I'd be willing to put about a 90% probability on it, would be that there is some kind of an issue going on that side of the trunk or the root system. So I'm gonna go after that. Have you done any construction or any kind of grade changing or anything on that side of the trunk?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I keep you know, the mulch ring around it, but I keep the dirt away from the base of the tree, and it has irrigation.
You have not cut a water line through or anything like that?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Your mulch ring that you have, does it come up above grade? Is it above the surrounding grade?
Yes.
Right, is there soil involved in that also, or is it just mulch?
I'd say 90% mulch. There might be a little soil in it.
When you planted the trees, did you make a ring of soil out, like a donut, out away from to retain water, or did you? Okay.
Yeah, I put the dirt. Actually, I had a tree company put the trees in. So they put the dirt ring around it, and then I've been mulching from that out. I haven't been mulching inside of that.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is they didn't make a pile of soil up around the trunk.
No.
Because a lot of times I think some landscapers, because they don't want to have to haul the soil off manually off site, will just pile the soil up. That's all I can figure. There's no reason to do it other than that. And I think it's better. Personal taste is better to make a ring to retain water when you irrigate them. All right. So we're still trying to figure out what might have gone wrong on that side of the tree. Have you used any kind of a herbicide, a weed killer, on that side of the tree only?
No, sir.
On that tree.
Well, I haven't put any herbicide out this year.
Okay. I'm at dead ends. I don't have anything else to ask. I think it's time to unwrap the trunk. You can always rewrap it if you feel the need to. Probably after this much time, you don't need to. Has the canopy, you know, granted it doesn't have any canopy on that side, but for the other trees, have their canopies gotten wide enough that they shade the trunk a good bit, tree by tree?
Yes. Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Yeah, you can take that paper off. After a couple of years, usually you can do that. So take it off and see what you see. It may be that there already had been some sun scald on that trunk on that side. You may find some decay there. You may find borers have gotten in the tree at that side. I don't know what you're going to find. It's going to be an abnormal
So if there's a decay or something,
abnormality.
is the tree lost, or is there something I can do?
Well, I don't know. You're going to have to let the tree heal itself at this point. If there are stubs that are sticking out, you can go ahead and trim those off, but don't start excavating a bunch. The other thing you have to ask yourself is, okay, there is the tree that now is half a tree. Would I be better off to leave it and let it try to repair itself, or to replace it and let the new tree try to catch up with the others? That's the dilemma that you're facing. And without seeing anything, I can't really help. But there's nothing you can do to help it at this point if it is decay beneath the tree wrap. I will tell you that the tree wrap does not cause decay. People will tell you that. Oh, it traps moisture. That's
Okay,
not the case, not if it's applied properly.
yes, sir. I just pulled the wrap off, and on this side of the tree, there's lots of cracks in the bark.
All right, what direction does that point?
It's southeast. I mean,
All right.
northeast.
Northeast. And see, there would be no sun to cause scald there. When the tree was in the lot at the nursery, there's a possibility that side of the tree faced southwest or west, and maybe it sat in the nursery for a period of time and got scalded there. I don't know that for fact, but that would be one possibility. I think this probably predates when you got the trees. That would be my guess.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
This is a little like buying a I don't know anything about buying livestock, but if you buy a bunch of cows and one of them has some kind of a problem that is odd and ends up making that cow very sick a few months later, years later, who do you blame? Well, it's an odd illness. I don't know that I blame anybody. It just happens. Things like that happen. If this were something where it was obviously dropped off the back of the truck and broke the soil ball, et cetera, then you could say, nah, that's the nursery's fault. And a thing like this, I don't think it's that easy to point at anybody. But I think you could leave it and see if the tree recovers, and hopefully it can.
All right. That's what we'll try.
All right. Good luck with it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you,
All right,
sir. Have a
Emily
good
in Franklin. You bet. Thank you. Same to you. Emily and Franklin, stay with me. I'm going to get my last break in, and then we'll come to you. Niels Ferry's eGardens is my free electronic newsletter. It comes on Thursday nights, just a little after 6 p.m., like 6:02, 6:03 is when I get mine. I always get it at 6:02. We send it out by Constant Contact, and they are very regular. We have about 82,000, 81,000 subscribers. It is free, and it always will be free. It's been true for 20 years. There are five stories in eGardens. One of them is a featured plant of the week. One of them is Always Gardening This Weekend, where I point out the things that you need to do that weekend. And one of them is My Answers to Your Gardening Questions, and then a couple of other stories. So, for example, this week, Diane Sitton is a fairly regular writer that puts a story in eGardens. I'm so grateful for her. She helps a lot. I write the other four stories, and it's a job. I work about a day and a half or 2 days a week on eGardens. Diane this week has one on dish gardens. So anyway, that's what eGardens is about. And if you'd like to see what it looks like, go to my website, neilsperry.com. Same place you go to buy my book, NEILSPERRY.com. But in this case, you click on the eGardens tab and scroll down. You can see the most recent issue, and that's right where you sign up as well. So that's Neil Sperry's eGardens. I'd love to have you as a subscriber. Take a look. I think you'll want to be. Neil Sperry's eGardens at neilsperry.com. And when you go nursery shopping later today or tomorrow, I hope you'll look for a Texas Certified or Texas Master Certified Nursery Professional. When you need nursery help and you want to be able to trust the advice that you're given, isn't it nice that you can find somebody wearing that name badge and where they work at a place with that emblem on the door or on their sign? Texas Certified Nursery Professional works here. And that's really important. There are thousands of these men and women across the state of Texas. They have studied long hours and taken a really difficult exam that proves their prowess in horticulture. That's what you want. Now, the big box stores don't have that. This is at independent retail garden centers. Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals at member nurseries of the Great Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. More after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you very much. Let's go to Emily in Franklin. Emily, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not in Franklin, by the way. I'm in Grapeland, which is Grapeland. Houston County.
It's a little different. Grapeland. I know where Grapeland is. My cousin lives there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How can I help you?
All right. We have a garden problem, a vegetable garden. For the last 3 years, we have bought seed from a seed company, and it's spinach called New Zealand spinach. The first year we grew it, and it was really good. Then the last 2 years, I guess it was just too hot, or maybe we didn't put enough water on it. I don't know. But it didn't even come up. And this year, we planted it again, and it hasn't come up yet, and it's been 2 or 3 weeks now. It's been raining and everything, so I don't think that's water is the problem. I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, first of all, I think I'd be planting it earlier than this. 2 weeks ago would put you at be planting probably a month or 6 weeks. That will gain you a good bit. It is okay. Not going to need as cooler climate as regular spinach does. It's not a true spinach.
It's not.
It's a beautiful vegetable. Mm-mm.
Oh, and, it's really good too.
Yeah, I know. You should, even if you planted it the 1st of May, which is garishly too late in where you are, it should germinate. And so the fact it's not germinating, either you're getting bad seed or you're letting them get too dry as they try to germinate. Something's going wrong with the right at the moment of germination somewhere in there. So I encourage you to keep trying. But try it a little bit earlier, I think. I'm out of time. I must run. Good luck with them. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Happy gardening.